Imagine suddenly finding yourself in the wilderness. And I'm thinking specifically of the Nullarbor Plain here. As far as you look in each direction, there is just low salt bush. Oh, there is an occasional tree, but they're small, no more than about 2 metres high. And it's featureless. No hills, no rocks, no creeks, just salt bush. And beneath you is sand, red sand. It's hot, unbearably hot. And there are no signs of life. A lizard scutters by a few metres away, nothing else, until you look up and you find a couple of wedge-tailed eagles flying majestically by. The wilderness is a dangerous place. Life is insecure. Well, the sun came up over there, so that must be east. Where's east from here? I'm not oriented yet. That way. So if the sun came up, that must be east. But where will you go? You don't know which direction to go in. Does safety lie north, south, east, or west? Every direction looks the same. Without water, you won't last long, and there is no water to be found anywhere. You can last for days without food, but the end will come quickly without water. It looks like it hasn't rained for years. And tonight, where will you sleep? The wilderness might be hot now, but at night it will become very cold indeed, and you begin to get panicky. Then you realise, this place looks desolate, but there are people who live here. There are people who have lived here for tens of thousands of years. This land is far from featureless to them. They know every metre of this wilderness. They know where water, food, and shelter are to be found. There are people who can help you and guide you through the wilderness. The Bible is full of references to wilderness. Hagar, one of my favourite characters, was in the wilderness with her infant son. She was an Egyptian slave woman who'd been abused sexually and every other way in Abraham's camp. She and baby Ishmael had been expelled from the camp with just some bread and a skin of water. When this ran out, she expected that they would both die. She put the baby down under a bush and moved right away so she couldn't hear him crying as he died. The wilderness is a dangerous place. Life is insecure. But an angel showed Hagar where to find a well, and their lives were saved. Moses took his flock beyond the wilderness to Horeb, the mountain of God. And it was there that the voice of God came to him in the burning bush, telling him to confront Pharaoh. He led the people through the wilderness for 40 years. They complained to Moses and to God because they ran out of food and water. The wilderness is a dangerous place. Life is insecure. But God provided water from a rock and manna and quail for people to eat. The Psalms speak of the wilderness. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of God shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in the temple all say, glory. The wilderness is not a comfortable place. It's unpredictable. The wilderness is a dangerous place. Life is insecure. Many people now are living in a wilderness. Illness can be a wilderness. There are people who live with chronic or degenerative diseases or mental illnesses that can take over life. Even when one has supportive family and friends, it can be a lonely journey. No one really understands what you are going through. The fear of disability or death, or dealing with pain, or the worry about the impact of your illness on your nearest and dearest, having to learn a whole new vocabulary of symptoms and medication, and often travelling far from home for treatment. Grief can be a wilderness experience. I've done lots of funerals, and I reckon that each grief is unique, and at the same time it's a variation on the theme. Within a family, each person will grieve differently because each has a unique relationship with the one who has died. A grief can bring a family together or it can drive them apart. A grief can be a very lonely experience. Unemployment or underemployment can be a wilderness experience. It can quickly lead to isolation, poverty, and even homelessness. Having a child or grandchild go off the rails can be a wilderness experience. It can be made worse by feelings of guilt or embarrassment. Every one of us has a wilderness experience. I've mentioned some, but I want today to explore this in a different direction. Have you ever had the experience of waking in the middle of the night to unwelcome thoughts, sins that have been confessed and forgiven, but that still haunt us, regrets about opportunities missed, the pain of having been treated unjustly, the memory of a kindness left undone? And we are amazed that things that happened so long ago can still evoke strong feelings. I went to a Catholic First Communion for a family friend, and there was another little girl there who was making her First Communion. Her mother had worked at the childcare centre where my kids went, and sadly she died of breast cancer, leaving her husband to care for two small children. Excuse me, this still affects me, it makes me really sad. I wanted to say to this girl, I knew your mum, she would be really proud of you today, but I didn't. I thought it might upset her, as if she wasn't already thinking of her mum, with all the other children having their mums joining them on that special day. The memory of that day and the kindness left undone comes to me from time to time, and I take out a metaphorical stick and I beat myself. In my life, I have done plenty of dumb things that bubble up from my subconscious to my conscious mind from time to time. If you've never done that, you can tune out now. The rest of the sermon is not for you. But these memories are a wilderness experience. Some of them are seriously painful. Some are shameful. Some provoke us to anger. Wilderness experiences are very varied, but they have some things in common. They are frightening, disorienting, and unpredictable. Now, I reckon that Jesus felt frightened and disoriented when he went into the wilderness. The Message translation that we read today says that the Spirit pushed Jesus into the wilderness. The NRSV says that the Spirit drove him. It's clear that Jesus did not go into the wilderness for a camping holiday. Something compelled him to go into the wilderness. And for 40 days and 40 nights, now the number 40 rings a bell. Moses led the people of Israel through the wilderness for 40 years. Elijah traveled through the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights to reach Mount Horeb. These allusions to Moses and Elijah are fulfilled in the transfiguration, as we heard last week. Something happened to Jesus in the wilderness. Wild animals, the animals that might kill him, were his companions. He befriended that which is most scary. And angels took care of him. Angels are God's messengers. Some might have wings, but most, I suspect, do not. The hymn, "There's a Light Upon the Mountain," says, "But his angels here are human, not the shining hosts above." I've had people like that come to me who have been my angels. And I can't help thinking of that the angels who took care of Jesus were the people who lived in the wilderness, who showed him where to find water and food and shelter. But in Isaiah 43, we also learn that the desert is a place of transformation. Imagine yourself in that desert that I spoke of at the beginning. To return to your normal life, you would be dependent on others who would not see the wilderness as featureless as you did. Rather, they would read the features not visible to you. They would know how to get from one place to another without getting lost. They would find water, food, and shelter. Emerging from that wilderness, you would be changed. You would be transformed. You would be different. The prophet Isaiah tells us that the wilderness is the place of God transforming. The prophet brings the word from God. "I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Wild animals will honour me, and jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the desert, in the wilderness, rivers to the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, to the people I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise." John the Baptist found his ministry in the wilderness. We hear about him when he just emerges from the wilderness. We don't know anything more about him except for the story in Luke's gospel when he was a baby. Jesus was commissioned for his ministry at his baptism, but he was prepared for it in the wilderness. Jesus was prepared for his ministry in the wilderness.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, sister. Jesus has been in the wilderness. He was transformed for his ministry. He can walk with us as God transforms us in our wilderness. If our memories are of a kindness left undone, the Spirit is there to alert us for times when a kind word might be appropriate. Amen. If our memories are of having been treated unjustly, we might be commissioned to work for justice. If our memories are of opportunities missed and paths not taken, the Spirit is with us to help us on reflect on the things in our life now for which we are grateful. If our wilderness experience is of being angry, the Spirit may transform that anger into passion for making the world a better place. I pray that during this Lent, during this wilderness journey, we may befriend the wild animals, that we might find the angels and be transformed for our mission in the world for which Christ died. We may put away the stick and with Jesus proclaim, "Time's up, the kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the message." Amen. Oh, and Jeff's going to sing for us now, but the words will be up, so please join in. You may or may not know the tune, but please join in as you feel able.